Hi, I'm Mike Gaswood, CEO of Tricert Investment Counsel. Welcome to another episode of In Focus. Joining me today is Joel Baker, our Chief Investment Officer. Welcome, Joel.
Thank you, Mike.
We're here to talk about what we saw in Q3 this calendar year and looking forward. First of all, Joel, this is exciting. It's our first official podcast as Tricert Investment Counsel. So
yes, new name.
So it's kind of special. So folks, if you haven't heard, you don't have to adjust your podcast app. You're on the right channel or right feed. We're changing our name. We're in the process of changing our name for IAIC to Tricert. So, and if you want to know why, just hit our website and you'll have a look. And there's some good rationale for why we're doing that. So let's get to the business at hand, Joel. I always like to know how are investment guys sleeping? So why don't we start there?
Yes.
What are things keeping you up at night? And if they are, what are the things that are keeping you up at night?
Yeah, they always seem to, Mike. That's a common question we get from clients is what's sort of noodling around in our heads these days. And I must admit, there's a few things on the list that don't seem to be coming off the list, which isn't unusual. A lot of things going on out there. So yeah, probably the three biggies, Mike, are ones that probably are no surprise to anyone. So obviously, you know, there's some mixed economic data out there as to what's going on and how healthy is the economy. And we'll probably talk about some of those today. The second one is what I would maybe say geopolitical risks. And really, really what I'm referring to is it almost seems like wars and more wars. And it's almost a case where you don't even want to turn the TV on now with all of the stuff going on, you know, let alone the Russia-Ukraine war still going on. And the third thing is interest rates. There's a huge debate right now as to where interest rates are going and how high they're going to be and, you know, if they're going to start to drop next year. So a big debate on interest rates and how that sort of applies into some of the things we're going to talk about today with different types of investments. So by far, those are the three biggies that sort of keep us up at night in terms of portfolio managers and working on the portfolios.
Okay, so why don't we start on the equity side and let's talk about what we saw. Talk about those areas, and then we'll look towards the future. So equity markets, what did we see?
Yeah, equity markets, they've been a little bit choppy this year. So there's a little bit of division going on. Maybe I'll say it that way. So if you sort of lift the hood, to use that analogy, Mike, in Canada here, we really haven't had a strong market, but it's been lifted by two sectors that one's probably not a surprise, the other is. And what I mean by that is during the third quarter, we've got a little bit of a lift, if you will, by energy companies. Hmm. And I think that's just simply that the price of oil is up. We're sort of seeing that at the gas pumps. And that goes back to that geopolitical risk that obviously right. Oil's been up with all of the news going on there and the wars. And so that always seems to be a bit of a haven when it comes to commodities. So that's got a little bit of a lift on the TSX. The other is our healthcare space. And, you know, I sort of say this jokingly, but we don't have a lot of really good traditional healthcare companies. So it's been lifted by cannabis companies, which one could debate, is it really a healthcare company or not? But we're sort of seeing a lift of some of the cannabis producers sort of driving that. But really, that's only the two real shining stars in the TSX. Everything else has been trending lower. Our traditional defensive names, dividend payers, if you will, haven't been all that strong this quarter. So we're seeing the effects of that in Canada.
And down south of the border?
Yeah, the other side of the ledger, that's a little bit misleading. I'd say it that way, Mike, because the numbers are better than here in Canada as far as S&P returns. I'll maybe just focus on that market. It's a big, broad bellwether. But it really is a little bit like 2020 in that the returns of the S&P 500 are really being carried by five, call it six, large cap tech names. So if you sort of pull those names out, the S&P really isn't doing that well. It's being sort of on the back of these names. And, obviously it's a case where we want, even in our portfolios, we want exposure to those names. But if you don't have the same degree of concentration to the S&P 500 and those names really take off, it's almost a case like you're defending performance. So firms like us are defending that if we're not having a weight of, call it 33% to 35% in those kinds of names. So it's a little bit misleading when you see the numbers out of the American statistics as far as market returns. But like I say, when you lift the hood, it really is on the back of, call it five or six names that are driving it.
Right. So that's the market. Any call it a generalization in terms of how the businesses themselves are doing? Like, are we seeing?
Yeah, that's a That's a great question, Mike. So we're just kind of starting the earnings seasons right now, just given the timing of it. And this, the latest stat that I saw was as of yesterday, actually. So far, we're about 17% of the S&P 500 companies have reported. So we're just really early in the stages of earnings releases. To kind of put it in context, over the next, say, 5 days, there's 160 report. So just to kind of give you the flow of earnings coming out. But so far, it hasn't looked too bad. It's actually coming in stronger than what consensus thought as far as earnings and revenue surprises. But I must admit, it's a little bit misleading compared to the longer term numbers. So when you look at the longer term averages compared to year over year numbers, they're coming in slightly negative.
Okay.
And that sort of matches the trend we've been seeing in our data. So when we backed up our last call, our concern was on, corporate earnings growth rates were falling, and sort of the surprise was that revenues were also starting to follow that, and that was a concern. So that kind of bows into, back to this, we're maybe doing a little bit better on a short-term basis, but on a longer-term basis, there's just concern there, no doubt about it. So that's kind of where we're at so far, but I must admit we're pretty early into the earnings season so far. So
fair enough. And well, we talked about impacts of the conflicts, and you mentioned oil and Canada. Any other impacts from, sadly, the conflicts we're seeing around the globe? Has it mainly been oil, or have you seen it elsewhere?
That's pretty much been it. There's been a little bit of maybe geopolitical issues in terms of specific centers. So again, last time we talked about Europe, and I must admit, I don't think Europe's any better now than it was last time we chatted, Mike. It's still a little bit of a mess. Even drilling down into China, that's probably a common discussion point with clients. And for a long time, you didn't want to bet against China. It was just this big superpower and stronghouse, if you will, when it comes to economic kinds of things. And you're starting to see a little bit of cracks there. So the recent statistics are even showing that China, for maybe the first time ever, they're having population growth declines or decreases. Right. And what we're sort of seeing in the numbers is they're raising their prices to gain market share. So at the end of the day, you're really starting to wonder how healthy is the Chinese economy, let alone another wave of COVID. I hate to say that, but it's starting to sort of surface that we're reading.
I can't
more COVID
believe you just said that. Yeah. I cannot believe. I just refuse to acknowledge you just mentioned COVID. And by the way, folks, I'm fighting a cold. I tested myself twice. I don't have COVID. I refuse to acknowledge it exists. Sorry.
So those are some of the things out there for sure. That's, it's not just the wars going on, but it does sort of, weigh down into companies and even consumer confidence, even investor confidence kind of get affected by these sorts of things. So,
So let's bring it to bonds, interest rates. Still not a pretty picture there in terms of market values of a lot of our holdings.
Yeah, great point. So that's a common discussion item as well. So the bond market, if we sort of look at that, there is a little bit of a, I hate to use the word a scary statistic, but I'll use that for lack of a better term, is that never in the history of monitoring this, and I think it goes back, Mike, something like 150 years they've been watching this, we've never had three consecutive years of negative bond returns. That's a mouthful, but to put it in context, we were negative in 21, we were negative in 22, and this year we're flirting with break even. Like, it's not looking all that strong in the bond land. So if we end the year slightly negative in bonds, we'll be setting a record here of negative bond returns. And as investors, we're not used to that.
Right.
Bonds don't go down. So it's a deeper conversation with clients for sure to kind of put the safety and confidence in their bonds being stable.
And that was a shocking stat. When I first heard the stat that you guys mentioned this, not that I don't always believe you guys, but I went off and checked it out because, we've talked before about inflation. I lived through stagflation in the 70s, 80s and saw interest rates just being cranked up. And I thought, well, clearly, when you have that rise in interest rates, that always takes a hit to your market value of your fixed income type holdings. But you guys are spot on. The issue there was the coupons were still paying reasonable rates. So in terms of total return, it wasn't as bad as what we're seeing now because we were at such low interest rates. And with the,
Exactly, Mike. You're hitting it spot on. It's a case where we just went through a record-setting low in interest rate environment that we may never see again. But we've already seemed to have forgotten that. And so what I mean by that is, the central bankers have raised interest rates quite quickly here in the last 2.5 years, almost a full 4%, believe it or not. And that's weighing in on anything what they call interest sensitive. So whether that be bonds, you know, our preferred shares, our REITs, our telecoms, or, you know, our typical dividend payer pipelines, they're all affected by this interest rate increase where that price of safety is now, call it 5%, where not that long ago, it was more like 2%.
Right.
So it really has a major effect in those yield kind of comparisons. So for sure, it's been volatile.
And I'll direct folks, if you haven't, Joel and I recorded a great webinar where Joel really spelled out again and went into prefs as well, in terms of just having a better understanding, maybe looking at your statements and seeing some negative numbers and obviously concerning. And so hopefully that will help. And as always, and we always close the show with that, but I'll insert it here. Don't hesitate to have discussions with your portfolio manager. That's why we're here. So, yeah. So back to interest rate bonds, as you said, 3 years of negative returns, not great. Why don't we look forward?
Let's
maybe at a high level, I'll say the R word, the recession word, thoughts there. What are the indicators showing? Will we, and then let's talk about the we, is it, if we think a recession is coming, is it global? Is it more geographic on a geography by geography basis? What are the indicators showing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. So for sure, it hasn't been sort of a rosy discussion so far. I'll sort of say it that way and sort of what we're seeing and moving forward. But I'll maybe sort of answer that in two angles. So the economic indicators, unfortunately, are pointing towards a recession. So probably two or the three that we really sort of watch, they've got a great statistical background of being accurate in predicting recessions. So one of them is the PMI index or the ISM indicators. They're flirting with this magical number that if they hit that number, it's a high degree or a high probability of a recession. And sure enough, we're there. So that's not the greatest news. The other is the inverted yield curve, which we've talked a little bit about in different podcasts. So we're still inverted. They're still talking about inversion to probably out to mid-2025 is a recent predictions. So again, that's leaning more towards a recession coming, a recession looming. And probably the third thing is if we take a step back and just look at international, flow of funds, if you will, in terms of trade, that has not only been going down, but we're now in negative territory, which again, typically isn't great news. So the indicators are pointing towards a recession. You know, I would probably say it's leaning towards more a global recession than a recession, but most of the data is US based or US centered. So a little bit, stay tuned on that to see how the data unfolds. But if we go outside the American market, the trends are the same. That's the simple way to say that.
Right. Okay.
Drilling down to probably the other side of your question, or drilling down into the companies that, again, projections, they're not maybe all that great right now. And what I mean by this, they're trending down. We talked a second ago about revenues are starting to trend down. We're even starting to hearing it in client conversations, which is another bellwether. So we're hearing clients among different industries starting to talk now about they're feeling a slowdown coming. So that's important as far as data gathering too. It's funny, they still can't find workers, which is a bit of a bullish tune, but at the end of the day, they feel softness in their own businesses. And one of the benefits, Mike, of sitting in our chair is we talk to a whole bunch of people in a whole bunch of industries. So whether you're a widget maker or a farmer or a veterinarian, you get a scope of a business sense out there. And like I say, it's not uncommon to hear those sorts of, client comments on their own businesses, it's kind of a neat, ear to the ground, if you will, or pulse on the ground. So those things they're not really that rosy of an outlook. Maybe I'll say it that way, but the flip side is there a glimmer of hope? So that goes back to your other side of the question. So there is a few things that are looking upbeat as opposed to negative. If we go on next year, earnings look like they're reversing. So if we look into 2025, for example, basically areas all around the world are showing up arrows, not down arrows. So that's encouraging. And if we drill down on the companies themselves, if we look at more traditional ratios at things like price per free cash flow, so actually money that they're putting in their pockets as opposed to earnings, again, they're right on track to long-term averages despite the softness in the market. So again, that's a good indicator that companies are actually earning real cash. They can do something with the cash as far as spending it. So if we drill down from there, a bullish sign is that these companies, I guess the simple way to describe it is there's no real good projects out there to spend their money on as far as capital projects. So they go down their own balance sheet is how we sort of say it. So what that really means, Mike, is they're buying their stock back and they're raising their dividends. So right. As investors, that's good news to us that they're sort of rewarding us as shareholders. So again, that's a bullish sign for sure that these companies are flush with this free cash flow, that they can do those sorts of things. And lastly, just to comment, it kind of goes full circle because of this bit of sell-off. And like you mentioned, interest rates are going up. From an outright yield perspective, we've got some very good yields that can be purchased right now, whether it be bonds or GICs or even government bonds, even getting into things like telecom stocks. So good old Ma Bell, to use that as an example, we're seeing some dividend yields that we haven't seen here for years. So right. From a yield perspective, it's quite intriguing. You know, it might be relevant to any money that does have some cash in corporate bank accounts or holding companies. It's a case where we can pick up some yields and, you know, I'll say boring old bond land. I sort of use that word, you know, jokingly, but boring old bonds, you can buy some real good investment grade bonds now and get almost 6%,
right.
which is almost a triple to what we were talking 2.5 years ago. So it's.
And that's so important, especially in the context of, you know, I think it's human nature to focus on the negative, the increasing interest rates and obviously the holdings. You know, the bonds that we're holding now, we see the negative market value, but the reality is, yeah, okay, that was invested at a period of time. And the good news is we kept the duration of that date short. We predicted, like many others, obviously interest rates are going to have to go up. But now when that money, you know, basically gets paid back to the investor, you get to put it back to work. And as you say, great opportunities, higher yields. This is, you know, again, that's the positive side of the higher interest rates.
Yeah. And that's one that clients will notice in their portfolios, Mike, is we're adding more bonds now than we have in a long time. And it really is that simple. Like when yields are, I always call it that price of safety. When that price of safety is basically 6% now, as opposed to 2% now, the stock market can figure out what the stock market's going to do based on all of these things we've talked about today. So we might see some volatility in the stock market going forward. But in the meantime, we can sort of buy bonds and you know, play defense that way and not really have to go out very far from a term perspective. So earn 6%, you know, these are rock solid, you know, investment grade kind of companies. Like I said, that price of safety is pretty intriguing. So we'll go to there for a little bit of defense in the portfolios while the stock market does what the stock market usually does. And that's a simple way to say that. But
okay, Joel, I think, why don't we wrap it up there? Cause that's a positive note. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this, you know, you can start to sleep a little bit better at night. But so Joel, thanks so much for this.
Thank you.
And folks, as always, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to myself or to your financial advisor at your CPA firm. And as always, don't hesitate to talk to your TriCert portfolio manager. Take care.